although we have strategic interests that are pretty much agreed upon and have been unchanging for a couple of decades, which is that we want to ensure that the region remains stable and secure, and we want to ensure that there's no hostile powers that gain a foothold in the region. How we go about pursuing those interests has never really been clearly articulated in a sustained way. And that has been the root of a lot of the problems that I've discovered in my research, is that we've never had this consistent policy, so we've never stuck to it. And as a result, we've often gone around in circles, or we've contradicted ourselves. I mean, I find Manus Island Detention Centre, for example, is a huge contradiction, because on the one hand, we talk about promoting the rule of law and good governance in Papua New Guinea. But on the other hand, you know, the Manus Island Centre, and it's not just me that said this, has done a lot to undermine the rule of law and democracy in Papua New Guinea. Not to mention regional perceptions of Australia as, you know, as supposedly as a partner. I am optimistic, though, that with the new white paper, the Foreign Affairs White Paper, that that hopefully will change, particularly because they have said that there's going to be an accompanying Pacific Island strategy, a specific strategy with respect to the region. Look, things have improved, and particularly, you know, Julie Bishop has had a long-standing interest in the region, and she has done a lot in the region, you know, done a lot to assert her presence in the government, you know, to influence the government to have a better stance in the region. And before her, Kevin Rudd had done the same thing. But, yeah, it's kind of a wait and see to see what happens in that new policy, if it does actually improve things.
And what has led to this inconsistency? Is it simply a fact of different political parties coming to power and changing the priorities?
Well, I think the fact of the matter, unfortunately, is the region's never really been a priority, except when except when the region's been perceived as a particular threat, say during World War II or during the War on Terror, so-called. Apart from those times, the region's never been a priority, which is the problem that underlines a lot of this. So there's never really been the same amount of attention on it as there has been on other aspects of our foreign policy, say, you know, the US alliance or our relationships in Asia. And there is kind of there is an attitude in, particularly in the sort of strategic and defence communities, there's an acknowledgement that geography matters and that, you know, to get to Australia, you have to come through the Pacific. So on the one hand, there's this acknowledgement that the Pacific matters to our strategy and to our defence. But on the other hand, there's this kind of patronising assumption that, you know, look, it's our patch, to quote John Howard, it's our backyard. When push comes to shove, if we really need to do something in the region can be expected to pretty much follow our lead. And that the major finding of my book is really that that's not the case. It hasn't necessarily been the case for the last 40 years, and it's certainly not the case at the moment, and is likely to become less of the case in the future. Our influence, if we had any, is actually on the decline. Yet, ironically, we're facing a much more uncertain world. Our alliance with the US, which is essentially our security blanket, is increasingly questionable with the Trump administration. So we should actually be paying a lot more attention to the region than we do.
And going back to your previous answer about what you see and others have seen as well as Australia's declining influence in the region, is the best example of that the rising influence of China at the moment?
Yeah, I think the rising influence of China is a difficult topic, because I think on the one hand, you know, there's no doubt that China is much more present in the Pacific than it has been. Look, I argue in my book that does undermine Australia's influence. But on the other hand, I don't think we can go so far as to say that China has a concerted plan to assert its influence in the region. I think a lot of what has happened with respect to China's role in the Pacific has happened by accident rather than by design. So I think China's growing role in the region is just part of China's growing role internationally more generally. In many ways, it doesn't actually matter whether China has a plan to assert its influence in the region. What matters is how the region reacts to China's increased role. And I argue in my book that the Pacific Island states very cannily use China's increased role in the Pacific as almost a bargaining chip with Australia and New Zealand. It's increased their confidence. It's given them an alternative source of aid and of partnership, particularly Fiji, that has allowed them to be much more assertive with Australia and much more assertive internationally. And in many ways, Australia only has itself to blame for this, because the way that Australia responded to the Fiji coup, you know, Australia after the Fiji coup assumed that if it introduced sanctions and other methods to isolate Fiji, that Fiji would quite quickly come to heel. Now, that didn't happen. Bainimarama did not come to heel. Instead, he actually went completely the opposite way and sought new partners like China as alternatives to Australia. And as a result, Australia's influence over Fiji diminished. As part of that of that move by Fiji, they very cannily, you know, used China as an alternative. And that has just been, that partnership between China and Fiji has just increased. And we see this with particularly with Fiji's international activism. I mean, Fiji and other Pacific Island states are much more influential and much more present on the international scene than they were a decade ago. And we can see that with the Fijian becoming president of the UN General Assembly, for example, and the number of UN bodies and organisations on which Fiji and other Pacific Island states have been appointed. So China has played a role in facilitating that. I don't think as a deliberate policy to undermine Australia or to assert itself in the region, just as a policy of its growing expansion internationally. But for Australia, this has all had the effect that, you know, we're increasingly sidelined